We have missionary Vladimir and Rosa Silveira with us, two wonderful servants of the Lord, faithful missionaries there in Brazil. We're looking forward to their presentation this morning and also the preaching of the Word of God. Brother Silveira, good to have you with us.
Bom dia. That's okay. That's good morning in Portuguese. I still love you anyway. All right, thank you so much for, again, Pastor Brainerd, for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you, church, for hosting us in an incredible way. It's been a real blessing and encouragement to us. And thank you for all your prayers, your specific prayers for us this week, for the baby, the grandbaby coming in July, and for the ministry in Brazil. We're truly grateful for that. Thank you, Brother Watt, for the music and the missions. Emphasis, send the light, and I'm glad for churches like yours is willing. They're willing to pay for the light bill, right? Send the missionaries and pray for the missionaries. That's wonderful, great encouragement. So my name is Vladimir. For those of you who don't know us, Vladimir's last name is Silveira. Just keep it short, Vladimir, a Brazilian with a Russian name, okay? Not a Russian at all. Nothing against them. They need the Lord. But I'm a Brazilian by birth. So is my wife, would you please stand, Rosa. We were both born and raised in the southernmost state of Brazil. And I was led to the Lord by American missionaries. And when I was a kid, I was only 5 years old when my parents got saved. And then when I was 6 years old, I trusted the Lord as my Savior. I was baptized at 7. That was in southern Brazil, the southernmost state of Brazil. The city is called Porto Alegre. And my wife was saved under the ministry of German missionaries. I may have shared this with you before. In the same state, but in a different city. Then she moved to the same city as where I was born. And so when I first met her, she said, well, so you get a context, the word for shepherd and pastor in Portuguese is the same word, pastor. So when I first met her, she said, you need to meet my German shepherd. So I said, does it bite? You know, I thought it was a dog. No, my German shepherd is my German pastor. Oh, okay. I was relieved, you know. So she was led to the Lord by, now you know, a Brazilian with a Russian name and a lady that was led to the Lord by a German shepherd, right? So grateful for that. And later, the Lord put us together. Her church came to our church. It was a youth activity, and I laid my eyes on her, and that was it. I went home, and I told my mom, Mom, I found my wife, right? So that was it. Took her about 3 months for her to figure out. I was the one she was praying, had been praying for, and she was the one I had been praying for, so grateful for that. But regarding the call to the ministry, real quick here, we helped American missionaries when they came to Brazil, helped them with the language and the culture. And there was one particular missionary, he was my student, and he was preaching for the first time in my home church, and I was translating for him. And he was preaching about surrendering your life to serve the Lord. And I was on this high, just making sure that my congregation would respond to that. And I always say that little did I know the Lord was speaking to me in two languages. I want you to be in the ministry. So I responded to that call that night. We were driving home, and I told my wife, I believe the Lord has called me to preach. And she said, I believe the Lord has called me to not to preach, but to be in the ministry as well. Well, she does preach to the ladies and the kids, right? And to me. It's a sermon, one-on-one. But so it's kind of neat. We can look back and see the Lord used that instance to impact our lives. The Lord called us to the ministry at the same time. I was a junior electrical engineering major in college and a second lieutenant in the Brazilian Army. When the Lord called me to preach, I dropped all those things off and got ready to come to the States. Came to Bob Jones University back in 1990. Both of us came, and I was there for undergrad and grad degrees in Bible, was ordained in America, and then our sons were born in South Carolina. They were born there. And then we went back to Brazil for 7 years. We didn't have any kind of support. So we began to teach English, continued to teach English as a second language in Brazil, in college and language schools. And also, we continued helping missionaries. We helped them plant churches in southern Brazil, helped them, with the language and the culture, the same thing. But I was not full-time in the ministry because I didn't have any support, so the Lord allowed me to do that while I was there for 7 years. And the Lord just impacted my heart to come back to America then to raise support. And that's when we came back to the States. And we were hoping to be here for 1 year because we knew the language and the culture. But it was right after 9/11, and churches were kind of wondering, should we take on a new missionary? What's going to happen next? Almost like a COVID type of thing, you know. Back then, they were wondering. But the Lord knows everything. And I had a visa. That visa I mentioned this morning, the officer said I was a Russian. I told him I was not. And he said, so what are you going to be doing in the States? And I was going to raise support here. And then he said, I'm going to be speaking in different churches and all that. And he said, you're going to preach the gospel, brother? Praise the Lord. So he stamped my passport with a 3-year visa, stay here in the States. So again, I was hoping for 1 year, and it turned out that I was here for 2 years and 8 months. And back then, we were fully supported, ready to go do full-time ministry, continue helping missionaries, established a couple of churches. And the one I'm about to show you is the most recent church. Let me talk quickly about that. It's called Igreja Batista Esperança, Hope Baptist Church, and it's located in the southeastern coast of Brazil. Okay, just to give you an idea, São Paulo is the largest city in Brazil. If you drive 600 miles further south, that's BC for short, Balneário Camboriú. That's where the current church is, current ministry. If you go another 600 miles further south, that's my hometown. So I'm halfway between my hometown and on the southeast coast of Brazil. We have this church plant ministry there. We meet in a conference room of a commercial building, and we have a building fund. We're trying to raise funds so we can purchase a land or a house on a lot so we can be on a street level. So pray for that. Also have a team that works with Brazilians and the other team with Haitians. So we're helping them there. We're helping them online as we're here. Every Thursday night, we have prayer meetings there. So if I'm not in the conference or something, Thursday nights, I join them and I teach there. And we use online Google Meet to keep in touch with them, counseling, training, Rosa with the ladies, and all of that. So it's been a kind of an added blessing to have the online setup so we can be in touch with them. Back in the day, it was not like that, right? So you were here, you would occasionally call to see how things are going, but now you can have FaceTime and all that good stuff. So praise the Lord for that. All right, once again, thank you so much for everything. And I'd like to look into God's Word now. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I believe Paul wrote this. If you don't, I'll pray for you. Hebrews chapter 13. And if you can, would you please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. The title of our message today is The Unchanging Message in a Changing World. The Unchanging Message in a Changing World. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Again, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you help us as we look into your Word now. Thank you, Lord, for all that has been done here today, that you receive all the honor and glory. Thank you for the prayers, encouragements, the words from the Word of God, the hymns that we sang, the testimonies. And I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless now this time, these few moments. We're going to look into your Word. Help us, Lord, to receive again your Word with gladness. Change our lives. Help us, Lord, to have a greater compassion for the lost. Wherever we are, may we be used of you. Help us, our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. The unchanging message in the changing world, and I'm referring to the unchanging message, obviously, is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 20-some years ago when we came here, I preached the same message. Jesus Christ is the only hope for a dying and lost world. I used that sentence back then, and I can use that again because it never changes. The message is the same. But the world has changed a lot in 20 years. Well, has changed a lot in 20 days. Perhaps 20 hours. That's how fast it's going. And a lot of things are being affecting all of us, all ages, and in any country. But the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ never changes. It's the message of Jesus Christ is going to cause an impact in the life of a person, a life of a person. If a person is born again, according to John 3, that person will have eternal life. When the person is born again, they will have eternal life, will be forever with the Lord in heaven. But that's basically the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who saved, who died on the cross to save us from our sin. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So in a world of constant change, the unchanging nature of Jesus Christ stands as an unwavering foundation. The Word of God, Jesus Christ is the very Word. He's the Word that was God. He became flesh. John talks about that. And the very Word of God is eternal, just like Jesus Christ is. So more than ever, people need to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to point people to Jesus Christ. They're confused. A lot of religious people in Brazil, they see Jesus as a religious person. Some people think that he's like an instigator, or he's a false prophet, or some carry them on their necks, or they have a beautiful picture on their wall. But that's all the extent of their relationship. There's no relationship. It's just knowledge, just tradition that came down from generation to generation. So they need to know who Jesus Christ is. He is the only hope in a lost and dying world. Jesus Christ is the only hope in a lost and dying world for three reasons, and we're going to go through these this morning. First of all, because He is our eternal God. He is our eternal God. Jesus is eternal God, who is our Creator and Lord. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, being of one substance with the Father. Hebrews 1:10 talks about 1:10 through 12, and Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. Speaking of Jesus. And the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. Even Paul, he reinforced this truth in Colossians 1:16, for by Him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. All things were created by Him and for Him. So people need to know that He is the eternal God. He's not a little g God. He is God. He's the very God. They need to know the difference. A person told me even last year here in Indiana, this person said there are no absolutes. You know, we're in a day that people say there are no absolutes. There's no way you can say it for sure, no? There are no absolutes. And I said, may I say to you, you are absolutely wrong? Because here's the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us how it is. Jesus Christ is our Creator. He made us. And once we accepted His finished work on the cross, we were born again, and then we believed His work, and we were saved. So He gave us a second life, an eternal life, there was a new birth that took place. And if you're here this morning and you don't know, maybe you're just going to church, maybe this is your first time, I don't know you, I want you to know that the only hope of eternity is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. So Jesus Christ is the only Savior, the only one that can save your soul. No matter how long you go to church, how long you pray, how long you do things, As long as you're born again, if you're not born again, you will not go to heaven. You can't even see heaven, the Bible says in John 3. So Jesus is eternal God who is faithful. He fulfills every promise he has made. Hebrews chapter 6, I'm not going to go there, but he talks about the immutability of his counsel. It's confirmed by an oath. It cannot be violated. It cannot be changed. The Bible says that these are two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. If he promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, you will be saved. He will change your life. And so people need to know Jesus is the eternal and faithful God. He's the only one they can count on. The only one we can count on. So let's point people to Christ and tell them he is the eternal God. Second, he is the eternal guide. By now you know I'm alliterating it. Eternal God, eternal guide. Jesus is the eternal guide who promised to be with us always, even through his Holy Spirit that abides in us. Someone who's fairly new Christian said, he was praying, Holy Spirit, come to me. I said, the Holy Spirit's already with you. You profess to be saved, you know. Don't ask the Spirit to come. He's already there. He promised to be there. Matthew 28:20, the Great Commission. And lo, I am, Jesus says, with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. A promise of Jesus Christ. Well, but he went to heaven. Yes, and the Spirit came down. He told everyone about that. So people need to know Jesus is the eternal guide. You know, lost people feel lonely. They feel hopeless. You go to this, they call it the Brazilian Dubé there in where we are. These high rises, very wealthy people own those places. Famous soccer players, other famous people are there. But you know what? Without Christ, they're miserable. And I'm in a mixed audience here. I can't tell you things that happen there because they think they're going to have it all there and they end there. You know what I'm talking about. From those high buildings there. They own everything money can buy, but they have no hope. Hope Baptist Church is our goal there. We cannot go on the high rises because heavily secured, but we find them in the streets when they knock on the doors. We see them in the parks, and you can tell by their countenance, as we saw this morning, that they're missing something. So sometimes you just go up there and give them a gospel tract and ask them if we can talk to them. And so pray for those people who've been approached. Some people have made profession salvation, and we're just hoping that, you know, sometimes they come and they go away. They're just traveling, but pray for this opportunity to reach people. So we had different people that we shared the message, the gospel with. In a coffee shop, there is one there, I call him Batista Barista. Yeah, he got saved, and he had already been saved, but I had been witnessing to him for 3 years until he came to me, and he confirmed that. Before we came to the States last time, about 5 years ago, we had to sell our car, and then our documents were delayed to travel. To come, yeah, that was a green card back then. It was delayed, and I had to take Uber from one city to this other city that we were starting the church. I had never used Uber before. You know, imagine, about 5 years ago, it was kind of a new thing, you know, to me at least, because I didn't need one. I have a car. I had a car, right? So I download the app, and then all of a sudden, I put down the information, and I push, and about 10 minutes, voila, there was a car in front of my house. I said, wow, this is nice. And then I was all dressed up for church, my Bible, my wife, sometimes my git fiddle would come with me, and so that's a guitar. Okay? So I would talk to them a little bit, have like a small talk, and then I would give them the gospel. For 7 months, we had the opportunity to share the gospel message, because we took 2 or 3 times a week Uber back and forth. So many opportunities. I call it Uber ministry. So sometimes my coworker there will take Uber. He says, I did the Uber ministry today. So it's a thing now, you know. So praise the Lord for that. I call it track attack as well. Everywhere you go, you give gospel tracks, you know. So, oh, will they be offended? Well, they offend us all the time. So let's offend them with the gospel. It's an offense, I know. let's get the gospel. Be polite. I know some. I have some people that I know. They're very like a machine gun. You know, they just take your time, get to know them, and pray for them, and befriend them, and but give the gospel. But if people are in a very difficult situation, they are under some influence there on the streets, you give them a hard time. Then you can talk more seriously with them, you know, because they're desperate. Anyway, so just many opportunities. Please pray for us as we try to reach people everywhere we go there. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Think about where would you be this morning if somebody had not taken the time to open the scriptures and show you how to be saved. Where would you be? Where would I be? If that missionary had not left the United States of America to go to my hometown and win my whole family to the Lord, where would we all be today? You know, just think about that. Somebody cared for you. So go there and care for them. Load on gospel tracts. They have very good gospel tracts. Load on gospel tracts and give them your money. If they take your money, I got this from Dr. Bob when we traveled with him. And he gave a gospel tract, and I said, I told him, I do that too. Because my dad used to do that too. I picked it from my dad. And he said, yeah, I do that. If they take my money, they take my gospel tract. So so it was kind of nice to know that he was doing that. I encourage you to be that, to share the message of the gospel with the lost so they will know who Jesus Christ is. The only hope in the lost and dying world, because He's our eternal God, our eternal guide, and last, because He is our eternal glory. Okay, Isaiah 60:19, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. He is the eternal God. He is the eternal glory. His eternal priesthood secures our eternal salvation in glory. You know, the old Jewish high priesthood was passed from father to son and successor, and was liable to be violated and transgressed. The Lord's priesthood is final. He came to fulfill the law. He came to die on the cross for us. His priesthood cannot be transferred to another. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost. That means completely or entirely. That come unto God by Him, saying He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Not only does He save completely, He intercedes forever for us who are saved. You know, people are foreign to that concept that you can rely on somebody because they've been tricked all their lives, and they've tricked many people all their lives as well. They're not sure how that faithfulness works, right? They don't understand about complete salvation. Even people who go to certain church, they say they are there, they make a profession of salvation, and then the next day they do something wrong. They don't realize if they're truly saved. You know, you have to confess your sins and restore their relationship. They go back to be saved again. You know, that song says, you must be born again and again and again. It doesn't say that, right? Just one time, right? So people need to know that Jesus Christ can save them fully. You know, it's eternal life. And they need to know that because they hear things, they follow traditions, they don't know who the Christ of the Bible is, the one who has a final priesthood, an unchangeable priesthood. And that's our Lord, our eternal God. People need to know Jesus is the only glorious eternal God. Many lost people believe they can earn their way to heaven, work salvation. It's a big thing in Brazil because of religious background. Oh yeah, if I just, my good works outweigh my bad works, I'm in good shape. I would never know that would be enough, right? Because we know it's not like that. It's by grace we're saved. And that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So people say, as long as we do good. I ran into this, just want to finish with this testimony real quick here. A young man called named Danny from Guatemala. We went to this Chinese restaurant. We always get Chinese gospel tracts and Spanish gospel tracts. You kind of know what kind of foods I like now, right? Get in Portuguese gospel tracts, in English, of course. So this busboy was cleaning the tables, and I heard him, overheard him talk to somebody in Spanish. And Portuguese is fairly close to Spanish, so I would say that I can communicate about 75-80% Spanish, you know. And so I overheard him talk, and turned out that the other guy was from Mexico, and he was from Guatemala, and he came to me, he was wiping the table, and he said, and I try to speak Spanish to him, you know. Soy misionero de Brasil. No hablo español muy bien, pero intento hablar. I'm a Brazilian missionary from Brazil. I try to speak Spanish, and he got a chuckle out of that, you know. And I said, but I would like to share with you, give you a message from the Word of God. And he stopped and looked at me, and he went like this. I'm so touched. This is all in Spanish, okay? He had been in the States for only 3 months. He couldn't speak English, just very, very little. He said, I'm so touched. I've been here for 3 months. Nobody talks to me. And you talk to me trying to share las palabras de Dios, the words of God. That's how he put it. And we're missionaries. That's what we do. You know, because he's at work, right? I'm not going to spend my whole time get the guy fired, right? So sometimes I have to be quick and leave him some information. But he told me, I told him he went to a church. That's one of the questions I ask to have a quick assessment, you know. Do you go to any church? What church did you go there? So he told me he was a Catholic man. He said, and I believe as long as we do good, because your good works will have a reward before God, then you will be saved. Well, nothing could be farther from the truth. I couldn't talk to him for two reasons. He was at work, and I couldn't speak that plain Spanish. So I wanted to give him some information. Long story short, Danny asked me for my WhatsApp number. We began to exchange information. I went back. This was in Kentucky, okay? So I'm going from here, from Pensacola, through Kentucky, to go back to Indiana, where our home church is. When I stop there, I meet him, and when I get there to Indiana, I told my wife, we have open service on Wednesday. Let's go to that Hispanic church in Crawfordsville, Indiana. I went there. It was a good Bible-believing church. Everything was so nice, nice music, nice preaching and everything. They had the preliminaries. But I met the pastor about 15 minutes. He said, you're preaching tonight. I'm preaching tonight? I can't preach in Spanish. That's okay. In Spanish. That's spinach, I said. I guess I think of spinach. It's good too. Spanish. And I said, well, I'll have somebody translate for you. Okay, long story short, preached that night. After the service, talked to the pastor. I said, Pastor, I met Dunny. And this is the situation. Can you talk to him? Well, he was burning for Dunny. And then he called him the next week. And he spent a long time with him on the phone. And Dunny got on his knees and accepted the Lord as his Savior. Now, I don't say that to glorify myself and say, oh, you're the guy. No. I cared for him. He himself said, nobody cares for me. But imagine if I just said, just give him a gospel tract, forget it. I mean, do the best you can to go that extra mile to make sure you lead somebody to the Lord. Throw the net and try to bring the net back in if you have the time. I just threw the net and said, okay, go with the flow, but I'll be praying for you. So, and I keep in touch with him, and he's very grateful. And then we drove back later, back to Pensacola again. All these Indiana-Pensacola trips are long trips. So we drive. I was driving. I told my wife, we're going to stop by to see Danny. And then I texted him, and he said, yeah, I'm at work. So we came over. We didn't have time to sit down because we had a longer trip ahead of us in Kentucky, from Kentucky to here. But I did get to-go food, right? Cannot miss the trip, right? So, when he saw me going through through the glass doors, he saw me, he came up to me like this, he stretched his arm, he gave me such a tight hug. And he said, thank you so much for telling me about Jesus Christ. Now I know. And so praise the Lord for that. And then here I am, helping ourselves now on the buffet. And I'm quizzing him. So how do you know for sure that you're saved? Well, I'm trusting just the Lord, not the works, just the Lord. Now I know I'm going to go to heaven. They said, praise the Lord. Again, not because I cared, not because I want to promote myself, but I just want to encourage you to care for somebody. You never know. You never know how that gospel tract is going to make an impact on someone's life. It's the Word of God. Pray as you do it. I encourage you to be active, to be really. You feel like there's something missing if you don't have a gospel track or if you didn't, you missed the opportunity. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy sharing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Show them that Jesus Christ is the only mediator. He's the only, for there's one God. Listen, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, when the Bible calls Jesus Christ himself, he calls himself the Son of Man, he's emphasizing his humanity. When it's the Son of God, he's emphasizing his deity. He is the God-man, the man-God. I would say God-man is better. He's 100% God, 100% man. And they need to know that Jesus Christ is not just a martyr or somebody who had a point. All the other religious workers that claim to be saviors died. Jesus Christ is the only one that died and rose again the third day. They need to know. People need to know the Lord. Eu sou o caminho, a verdade, a vida, ninguém vem ao Pai senão por mim. Now I'm speaking in tongues. John 14:6. They need to know. So pray for those people there. Todos devem conhecer. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. This is an old song. I don't know who wrote. I don't know anything, but it's about the song. But the truth is there. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. So let's be compassionate for the lost. I encourage you to be compassionate for the lost because some people cared for you. Care for other people. If you're doing it, praise the Lord, do more. If you're not doing it, I encourage you to start doing it. Go with somebody who wants to witness to people and let that rub off on you a little bit. So, and then, like Peter and John, we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. We have this commitment. We have this responsibility. We've been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel, no matter where you are. When I'm in America, I'm a missionary to America. And America needs a lot of missionaries. I'm not for illegal immigration because I'm a legal immigrant, right? But you know what? They're here. Might as well give them the gospel. If they get saved and they do straighten out their papers and everything, or they go home, come back the right way, people need the Lord. So let's be busy about it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these challenges that we had from the Word of God this morning. And we pray that you help us as we continue to share the message of the gospel. Help us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works. Help our testimony to impact the lives of people. Help them see the joy of serving the Lord. Help them see that there is hope beyond money and possessions. Help them to see Christ and help them to see Christ in us so that they can also be saved and win other people to Christ. Pray that you continue to bless Grace Bible Church in Milton. Continue to be with Pastor Brainerd, the school, the campus here, all the staff, all the deacons and the Sunday school teachers, everyone. Help everybody, Lord, to be involved in missions, not only here, but around the world at the same time as they support missionaries, pray for missionaries, and as they do missionary work right here in their local community. May Grace Bible continue to be a lighthouse in this community. Pray that you use us, and may you get all the glory here or anywhere in the world. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.